Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. What did I tell you about that Ethereum Classic, man? It broke the top 10 in cryptocurrencies. I thought that was pretty interesting stuff. But before we dive into all this stuff too much, we're also going to talk about Office 365 and how to harden and protect your Office 365 environment. But first, our sponsor. Yes, we have a sponsor. It's Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. They've got all kinds of T-shirts, funny shirts, business shirts, polos, whatever you need. Tank tops, it doesn't matter. They can make it for you, custom design it, whatever you need. They've also got some pre-made, really, really funny stuff. So go and check them out. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Again, southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Check them out. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at eenglish34. Again, that's at eenglish34 if you want to follow me on Twitter. So we talked yesterday about the Coinbase going to start accepting Ethereum Classic. And I said yesterday to start investing in Ethereum Classic and hold on to it until Coinbase officially opens the floodgates for Ethereum Classic and then sell. I've been monitoring this today. Today is Tuesday, the 6th, and I have not seen, I'm sorry, the 7th. I have not seen them release this officially and start allowing transactions officially. And it's 5:30 in the evening. So not yet, but as soon as they do, I would sell it. It broke the top 10 as far as market value goes. It's over the $2.2 billion mark now. So, and all of this is because of the Coinbase news. That's the only reason it's gone up so high. So get ready to sell it when it comes around and Coinbase actually supports it. Get rid of it as quick as you can. I don't recommend holding it at Coinbase. Because as soon as they open the floodgates, there's going to be millions of transactions. People are going to be trying to sell this right away. So I highly recommend, holding this at an exchange somewhere rather than at Coinbase, because the volume of transactions at Coinbase is just going to be exponential, and you want to be able to sell it while the value is still high. So hold it at an exchange and get it sold as soon as Coinbase officially supports it and allows those transactions. So keep monitoring it. Get ready, because it's going to spike even higher today. And it'll take a huge dump after Coinbase officially supports it. So keep watching Ethereum Classic. Monitor that stuff closely. And get ready to sell. So that's really all I had for cryptocurrency news. Nothing too crazy going on in that side of the world. But in cybersecurity, I wanted to talk about hardening Office 365 environments and some cool stuff that we started doing in our environment at work. And just some things that people don't think about anymore. I'm not going to tell you all the basic hardening thing, like use a good password and turn on two-factor. Those are kind of duh, right? We don't care about that. We need to find other things that we need to disable, harden, turn off, whatever it is. So the first thing that we did, we reviewed all of our user accounts and made sure that nobody was using any kind of POP3 or IMAP protocols. So POP3 and IMAP are just another way to receive email. They're email protocols. And, older email systems used POP3 and IMAP exclusively. But Office 365 does not. It uses ActiveSync and whatever the Exchange protocol is to sync with Outlook. It might be ActiveSync as well, but you know, there's really no need for IMAP and POP3 unless somebody's using an archaic email client, which, you know, if you are, that's part of the problem. But you know, if you're using like Mozilla Thunderbird or something, yeah, you might have to have POP3 and IMAP. But we reviewed all of our user accounts, made sure that nobody had POP3 or IMAP in use. We found that nobody did. And we disabled those two services on all of our 365 accounts and made it the default moving forward that those would be turned off for all new accounts created. So turning those off benefited us because we saw when, you know, we get business email compromises happen quite often. We had one on Monday yesterday. And we saw in the logs that oftentimes the hackers use POP3 or IMAP. And so we're disabling that now, and it's already been disabled on all accounts. So the hackers now have to use something else. So we're trying to slow them down every way we can. But that's not all that we did. So the first thing we would recommend is disabling IMAP and POP3 if you're not using them. And that's kind of step one. And again, these are kind of off the radar hardening tips. It's not, you know, change your password, use good passwords, two-factor. We all know about those things. But POP3 and IMAP are old protocols, and turn them off if you're not using them. Just like anything else, you know, turn off services that you don't use, you know? You know, this goes for, you know, workstations, servers, whatever it is, turn off services that you're not using. It's a very simple technique that most people do when they deploy a new system. So turn off those two protocols. The other thing that we did, and I wasn't aware that this was even possible, but we saw in our logs that the hackers were using PowerShell commands. So they'd compromise credentials, and then they would use PowerShell commands with those credentials. And I thought, how the hell do they have access to use PowerShell commands with these credentials? And come to find out, by default, 365 allows a standard user to use PowerShell with their account. And so we recently disabled that on all users except for our admins of Office 365, so that way they can still use it if they needed to. But for everybody else, we disabled PowerShell. And again, this isn't disabling PowerShell on their workstation. It's disabling access to Office 365 via PowerShell. And if you're not familiar with PowerShell, it's just another command prompt, much more powerful command prompt than the old school DOS days, and you know, the built-in DOS prompt that you get in, or command prompt that you get in Windows 10. PowerShell has a lot more commands, a lot more features. You can really write some amazing scripts with it. It's really, really good stuff. So anyway, we turned off PowerShell access for all those users, and so hopefully we're going to prevent, you know, even more of this stuff from happening. One of the other things, and this is also kind of a duh thing, but I think it gets overlooked quite a bit, but GeoIP blocking. So if you don't have, you know, let's say you don't have employees all over the world, you just have employees in the United States, right? Why not block all those other countries? Block sign-ins from all those other countries. Don't allow anybody to log in from any other country other than the United States, right? I think that gets overlooked a lot. We turned this on recently when I came on board. That was kind of one of the first things we did, is we started doing geo-blocking because, you know, we were seeing all these login attempts from Russia, China, India, Jamaica, You name it. And we also saw during some of these business email compromises that they would log in from Jamaica or wherever it was, right? Somewhere outside the U.S., where U.S., you know, law doesn't have any jurisdiction. So we disabled all logins from all countries except for the United States. We did that on our Office 365 environment, and we also use Okta. We did it in Okta as well. So highly recommend doing those things. Those are kind of outside of the normal hardening tips that you see online. Microsoft has some articles on this as well, stuff that they would recommend, but you know, they don't recommend or mention anything about, you know, PowerShell access or geo-blocking or anything else. So highly recommend turning those things off as long as you're not using them. Another thing we did, we turned on auditing for all of our accounts. There's no additional charge for it. And you turn on auditing for all accounts, and we're actually going to create some alerts. Because during these business email compromises, we see that the hackers create rules on somebody's mailbox to, you know, auto respond to specific emails with specific subject lines, yada yada yada, and they do this via rules. And so when they compromise their account, they send out phishing emails. If somebody replies back to that phishing email, they have an auto response right back to that person saying, yes, it's legitimate, or, you know, whatever it is. So they set up these rules. So we're going to create an alert that tells us, hey, this mailbox has a new rule created. And so I think that that's really going to help us with the business email compromise. You know, just being more aware when it happens, hopefully catching it earlier. Earlier the better. But, you know, we're also going to do that as well to help mitigate some of this stuff. So the audit logging can be turned on via a PowerShell command, and you can do it for all users in your 365 environment. There's no additional charge for it. So highly recommend turning that on and then set up some alerts for rules when rules are created on a mailbox. So those are kind of the things that we were doing. I thought that was pretty cool stuff. To really kind of lock down our Office 365 environment and get it really fine-tuned and hopefully prevent, you know, more of these business email compromises from happening as much as we can. You know, it's never going to be perfect until, you know, everybody has two-factor, which we haven't gotten to that point yet. But one thing we do when a user does get compromised, we add them to our multi-factor group in Okta so that they have to use multi-factor moving forward. So that prevents, you know, them from getting compromised again, you know, in the future. So I think that's a really cool thing to do. You know, the employee may not like it necessarily, but you know, you just explain it to them that, hey, you know, look, your password got compromised. You obviously typed it into a phishing site of some sort, and you know, if we have this turned on, even if you give your password away again, it's okay because they don't have your phone, they won't be able to get that push notification, and they won't be able to accept that. So we are putting those people in, I guess you can call it the naughty group, but the multi-factor group if they do get compromised. So anyway, I thought that was really cool stuff. Again, Microsoft has some articles on what they recommend, but it's pretty generic and pretty basic. Let's see. The other thing that I was hearing that APIs were getting exploited too in Office 365, and I was digging into that a little bit, and your APIs are set up through Azure. So I would highly recommend reviewing what APIs you have set up, if any, in Azure, and just kind of check the permissions on those. Make sure that you know what it is, first of all, and you know what it is accessing your environment through an API. We do have Proofpoint getting into ours, things like that. But check those APIs, check those permissions, make sure that you recognize what's getting into your environment through those APIs. Because they've been talking about, you know, if you use the API, you can bypass two-factor. Now, I think Microsoft has resolved this issue, but we don't require two-factor for all of our employees. So, and it's a little bit scary. So make sure that those APIs are also locked down. I think there is a default API as well in 365. So I just highly recommend checking that and restricting access as much as you can to those APIs as well. But aside from that, didn't hear about any crazy breaches. Kind of an update on the Atlanta Police Department ransomware. This is probably almost 2 months ago now. The Atlanta Police Department got hit with ransomware, encrypted all their files. They did not pay the ransom. But since they've recovered from this, they've spent over $15 million, which is pretty substantial. But they spent all this money to, you know, boost security in their environment. So I thought that was kind of an interesting number there. That's quite a big turnaround from just paying a, you know, couple thousand dollar ransom to spending, you know, $15 million on upgrading your security. Now, they probably needed that anyway. They needed the security upgrade, so I guess that's good for the long term, and it's good for them in the long term. But thought that was interesting to see that. But aside from that, there's really nothing else going on today on this Tuesday. Nothing too crazy, but watch out for that Ethereum Classic. Get it on an exchange and watch those prices and get ready to sell. As soon as Coinbase releases it, watch it, and sell it as soon as they release it. And that way you can make as much profit as you can. But that's all I got for today. We'll conclude this one. Check out our sponsor again, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. It's southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at eenglish34. Talk to you all tomorrow.